Kingdom kids, if you're age 4 to 7, the beautiful Akaya is going to take you downstairs. 4 to 7-year-olds, you can go downstairs for Kingdom kids. Yep. They're little cutie pies. All right. Well, I am going to speak to you today about the perseverance of your faith, because I had to persevere all week long, and I thought this is just a perfect subject to preach about this morning. I tell you what, when the Lord gives you something, the enemy is always trying to steal it. That's really true. What does it say? That Jesus came to give you life, to give you life abundantly, right? And the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm just going to share a few testimonies, and then I want to preach from the Word in Hebrews chapter 10. I have several times gotten significant words from the Lord, and almost in the same moment been struck by the enemy with sickness. I don't like that. I'm not saying it should be that way. I'm not saying that's a good example. I want you to believe for better things, and we believe for divine health. But I can't help what is when you're sick and you can't help it, and you just got to like keep praying and believe in the Lord for healing. Sorry, guys, that's my cough drop. Jesus is so good. So there's been multiple times the Lord's given me a dream that was super significant. And literally, I wake up from the dream, from the word of God being given to me, I wake up sick. Or in the dream, the Lord gives me a word, and then a demon comes and strikes me with sickness. And then I wake up physically ill. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. But there's this principle, and I'm contending for divine health, and I'm contending that that won't happen to me. And it's happened to me less, I feel like, probably. But there's a principle there. God's really giving you real blessings, and the devil really is trying to steal them. And sometimes he is successful at stealing them because we roll over because it's hard. And we just say, I don't feel like persevering anymore, honestly. And we give up on the promise. And I don't want that to be this church's legacy, though. I believe it's not our legacy. We are those that persevere and are saved, like Hebrews chapter 10. And let me share a couple stories. I want to give you some examples of when that actually happened, but how we persevered and how the Lord then brought us into victory. Because the victory at the end, that's what we're going for, right? And I just want to tell you right now, it doesn't matter what it costs you in this life, we are going to be people who possess the promise. Because we're not living for this life. We're living for eternity. So it just doesn't matter what it costs. It's worth it. I mean, really worth it. First time Jeff and I took our family to Europe on a ministry trip. We brought our kids with us, and the Lord spoke to me to go to Paris and to meet with the leader of the House of Prayer in Paris. Now, I didn't know this man personally. I had never met him before. I literally had to look him up. I had to look up House of Prayer in Paris and who he was. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to go to Paris and encourage this man. I had no specific word for him. We had no prophetic word for him. You know, this was not who is the guy that prayed for Paul and the scales fell off, Ananias. I didn't have an Ananias experience. I didn't have this prophetic word necessarily. I had a word to go encourage. That's enough though, right? To be honest, in my flesh, I didn't even really want to go to Paris. I had been to Paris before. I felt like been there, done that. And also it's a really expensive place to take a family, which was something on my mind. But I did it out of obedience. I was like, okay, Lord. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm getting in and out of Paris. Like, I don't really want to stay there a long time because it's going to cost our family so much. And the Lord said, no, not 2 days, 3 days. And I'm like, 3 days, Lord, I don't want to be, okay, Lord, 3 days. I mean, like, I actually only booked like an Airbnb for 2 days. And And then the Lord said, no, I told you three. And I'm like, okay. And I had to book another hotel across town for another day. And I'm like, well, we got there though. We had contacted him ahead of time, told him we were coming into town and would like to meet with him. And we couldn't get together with him day one. All day, day two, we couldn't get together with him. I mean, we traveled from the United States to meet with this guy for coffee. And we cannot get together with him. Finally, day three, he contacts us like, yeah, I'm sorry, I was out of town. Yeah, let's meet for coffee. Just hours before we're to meet, I am struck with sickness. And I mean like a sickness, I'm not sure I'd ever been more sick than that. Super high fever. My throat felt like needles. I'm like, I knew I needed an antibiotic. Honestly, like, I'm like, something's wrong. Like, I couldn't swallow. I was trembling in the hotel room because of the high fever. And I was like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Like, literally like that. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Shaking. And I'm like, God, I know this is warfare, but I hate it. Like, this is warfare, but I hate it. And I messaged Jessica McKinley and I don't know, a bunch of you guys back here. And I was like, pray for me right now. Pray for me. And I took a bunch of ibuprofen and probably a bunch of Tylenol too. I mean, I was like loading up on medicine. And then it was the moment like, do I go or not? And I was like, I just can't let the devil win. I was just like, I can't let the devil win. And I left that room with the family. I was literally crying, like weeping through the subway system in Paris, because I was in so much physical pain, like weeping and trembling and like having to make my family stop every once in a while because I couldn't, I had to rest because I was so weak. And as we made our, I mean, Paris is a huge city. It's not like just go across town. I mean, across town is like, it takes an hour to get there. But by the time we got there, like just it lifted. And I had this clarity of mind, and we had coffee, and we encouraged, and we asked lots of questions. It wasn't about us. The meeting was about him, and we just, well, how can we pray for you? What's happening in Paris, you know? And we went to the house of prayer there and had some worship time, and honestly, it was a matter of obedience. I couldn't tell you that anything spectacular had happened, but we persevered, and we obeyed, and we did it. 2 years later, we were back in Paris, and Sam had me in to teach on dreams. This is the leader of the House of Prayer, and he's introducing me, and he says, 2 years ago, things were so hard in the House of Prayer that I was thinking I should shut it down, because I just didn't know if I had the energy for it. And then God sent this family all the way from the United States to meet with me for coffee. And I decided, God, if you care about this much, I'm going to keep it going. And they started a school ministry and was flourishing. It was doing so good. Guys, there is a perseverance of our faith that we just have to tap into to enter into the glory that God has for us. Like, there's so much glory in this walk with him. There's so much victory. There's so much ground to be taken. But it does not happen without perseverance. Because to think that everything is going to be easy, and we think that now, oh, yeah, it's going to be difficult. But then when we get into our difficult, it's like, oh, I didn't think it would be difficult like this. Right? How many remember 4 or 5 years ago the bird flu in South Dakota? Do you remember that, Stan? Yeah, maybe 2015, somewhere around there. The bird flu really struck our state bad. I think we lost almost 750,000 birds, something like that, pretty close to in South Dakota. Specifically poultry, I'm sorry. It was like turkeys, chickens, you know, it was our industry, our farming industry. Well, to be honest, back then I wasn't following the bird flu at all. How many of you have heard this story? Just bear with me because we're testifying. I'm testifying. I am right now crushing the head of Satan underneath my feet. through the word of my testimony. God is good. So, about 5 years ago, the bird flu was coming through. I hadn't been following it at all. There's a lot of news in the world, right? We can't follow all the news. So in fact, it was just a word I knew. It wasn't even like anything that seemed very real to me. I didn't even realize it was an issue in South Dakota. It just started, I guess, in South Dakota at that time. Anyway, the Lord gives me this really powerful dream. In this dream, I'm in this huge poultry barn. Huge, like industrial poultry barn. Like chickens, turkeys, that kind of thing. And I'm in the barn, and all of a sudden, I hear a rattle of a rattlesnake go off in the barn. All West River people know the sound of a rattlesnake. Yeah. The rattlesnake is in the barn, in the poultry barn, in the dream. And I'm like, and the chickens are going crazy. You know, I mean, like, it's over here, I can tell that's where the snake is. I'm like, I just know this in my mind, in my spirit, in the dream. I've got to get that snake and I got to kill it before it escapes and makes its way into other barns. And so I run over to the area where the snake is. And crazy things happen in dreams, right? There's a guy there that has a pitchfork. And the guy takes the pitchfork. He scoops up the snake and throws it straight at me. And I'm like, whoa, it's coming. It's flying towards me. And what do I think? Grab the tail, not the head. So I reach out. I grab the tail. This thing it then reaches up and latches onto my finger and bites me. And at that time, I said, this is serious. But I look at it and I take it and I throw it down to the ground and I take my foot at the base of its neck and I pinned it down and I look down and it's a three-headed snake. And I said, give me the axe. Of course, there's an axe right there. I love dreams also for that reason. Always a weapon at your... I said, give me an axe. We're going to take care of this thing. But I said, this is going to hurt. And I wake up and I am physically sick. I don't like that happened, but I was physically ill. I went to bed totally well. And I wake up, but I'm so sick. You got that cloudy mind. I hate that too. You know, when you're sick, you can't sometimes think clear. So I'm sick. And I'm going, God, something about this dream. Like, how can a snake bite me in a dream? And then I'm actually sick in real life. I don't understand the dream. I'm like, is this about a spirit of chicken getting cast out of the church? No, really, seriously, I went in every direction with that dream. I'm like, is this about like a fearful spirit? Because there was chickens in the dream. And I'm like, I knew it wasn't. I'm like, what is this dream about? What is this dream about? And Lord, why am I so sick? I was sick for days. And then a Friday night, we had back when we used to have the house of prayer at my home. I can't be down there because I'm so sick. I'm upstairs. Everyone's meeting downstairs. I can hear them worshiping down there. And I'm upstairs and I'm like, Lord, what's going on? And what about this dream? What about this dream? I feel like it's linked to my sickness, but also it's about something else. What's going on, Lord? And then I get onto Facebook and Stanley had just posted about the bird flu in South Dakota, posted an article on Facebook. And I said, bird flu in South Dakota? And also I started looking up the articles and like Holy Spirit explosions. I'm like, oh, it's the snake in the barn. This is a demon. This is literally a demon trying to destroy our poultry industry. A three-headed demonic demon. And it made me sick. I don't like that either. And so, you know, within 24 hours, I mean, by the next day, I was calling people just around the state, prayer leaders. I said, let's jump on a phone call and let's deal with this. And so we jumped on this phone call. We had like a 30, 45 minute prayer call where it's just like taking authority over the bird flu. I mean, you're us in this church and a handful of people, a handful of leaders in the state even knew about the dream. Do you know within 1 to 2 weeks, the headlines of the newspapers said, we can't explain it, bird flu stopped in South Dakota. Although it continues to ravage around in Iowa and Minnesota and other states, it stopped 100% in South Dakota. I mean, that dream the Lord gave was a secret thing to like preserve our state. He makes us like watchmen. He makes us like watchmen over our cities, over our workplaces, over our state. He can do it. He can sometimes make you a watchman over another nation of the world even, meaning like he wants to give you his secrets for breakthrough, right? But sometimes they come, you have to persevere. Because as soon as the word is given, in that same breath, the enemy is trying to take it already. I mean, he almost did. He's just trying to, because if he could strike you with sickness, if he could strike you with confusion, all of a sudden he can steal the word if you let him. It's the grace of God too, all the grace of God that keeps us steady. But there's also something about perseverance. Well, this last Tuesday morning, I woke up with an important dream. And I also woke up very sick. Pray for me that the enemy cannot strike me with sickness. Like, I really don't like that. I don't like it. And I feel like I am getting more victory in this through the years. It is a testimony. Because probably the first 7 years of our ministry in Huron, there was not one conference, seminar, retreat, or special event that we did that I was not running a fever. Or the kids sick. I mean, it was just like, all right, pop the ibuprofen, get the fever down, go and preach. Anyway, so that's better because last Gathering of Generals 2 years ago, I was 100% well the entire time. So, whew, I mean, like serious victory. So on Tuesday, I have some really important dream. And I wake up really, really unwell. And I'm like, Lord, I have this feeling again. Like, it's not like this happens every week, guys. You know, I'm telling you. Praise God, right? I mean, Paris was 6 years ago. The bird flu was 5 years ago. It's not like this is happening every other week or that I'm blaming every cold on the last prophetic word the Lord gave me. But I wake up sick and I'm like, okay, I have that feeling, Lord, that the enemy's trying to steal the word. So I'm really sick for a couple days. And then in the middle of the night, I'm like, Lord, I'm waking up fevering. And I'm like, God, what's this? What is the, give me discernment. What's this dream about? What's this dream about? And the Lord brings up Paris to me, the story I just told you. And he says, Autumn, you need to persevere. I'm like, because I was kind of just laying on the couch like a lump on a log. I wasn't persevering for 2 days. I was just kind of like, I was no perseverance, just kind of. It's okay to be, you know, resting when you're sick, but I wasn't stirring up my spirit necessarily. So I was like, okay, Lord, okay. And so the next day I got some extra prayer and just, you know, started pressing into the Lord. And let me share with you some things the Lord said. Lord gave me this dream that we were moving from citywide influence and ministry to influence in the continents of the earth. Cool. It was on the morning that the team went to the Karen village up for ministry up into the mountains in Thailand. And the Lord is saying, I'm giving you increase. Specifically, I'm serving notice to the slumbering spirit and I'm releasing awakening. It's good, isn't it? This is what we want. We want a ministry of awakening. If you feel yourself in a spiritual slumber, start kicking it out. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate that slumber that comes, you know, being tired, physical tiredness can help, but I mean, just spiritual slumber where you're like, just don't feel spiritually hungry. Wage war on it. I mean, it's really a season where the Lord is serving it notice, so to speak, saying, I want the slumbering spirit out of the church. I want it out. And I want my people to have an alert, awakened heart in this hour. Because it's time to take ground for the kingdom, for his glory. Praise God for his glory. So if you have a Bible, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. So I'm praising God. I'm feeling better today. This was the first morning I didn't have a fever since Tuesday. So praising the Lord for that. I feel some alertness in my mind and my spirit. Although my body still feels a little weak. That's why I'm sitting. Sometimes this looks like perseverance, right? Sitting looks like perseverance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have the right notes in your bulletin because I'm just not preaching that message that's in your bulletin. I'm preaching this instead. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. The Lord gave me this scripture 14 years ago. This month, actually, March 15th is our 15-year anniversary of being in Huron. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. And 14 years ago, we were in the toughest season of our entire life, finishing our first year in Huron. And Malachi had just been diagnosed with diabetes. It's about his 1 year, or his 14-year anniversary. We don't celebrate that anniversary, by the way. But about 14 years that he's had diabetes. He was 3. And that moment was like a really huge defining moment, testing of our faith. And during that time, this is a scripture the Lord gave me. And I'm going to read it to you, but let me tell you, at that time, I think for weeks and weeks and maybe months, I read it every single day. And sometimes it was the only scripture I read for weeks at a time. And you just have permission to do that. You know, if the Lord gives you a word, just stay in it. Just stay in it. I mean, if it's his word to you, just stay in it for as long as you need to stay in it. Ride the wave as long as there's strength on it for you. And this was God's strength to me. It was like he was saying it to me personally. And he's saying it to you personally this morning. Verse 35, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. So when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who's coming will come and will not delay. Jesus is, he's going to return soon. I mean, this is the end of the age is coming soon. And in light of that, my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and are saved. I'm going to read the whole thing again. And I want you to insert your name like Jesus is speaking it to you. So I tell you, Mary Jo Hofer, don't throw away your confidence, right? I tell you, Josh, it's going to be richly rewarded. Sarah, don't you worry. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he's promised. For in just a little while, he who's coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one, Loretta, she's going to live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we, Lamisha and I, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we are those who have faith, believe, and are saved. So what does it look like to not shrink back? What does it look like to persevere in Christ? I want to just go through three aspects of persevering this morning real quick. Number one, perseverance is about living in God's promises. If you're taking notes or you want to grab your bulletin, there's a little space there to write. Perseverance is about living in the promises of God. Perseverance is not a personality trait. It's not just like some of us are stubborn and stick with it and some of us can't. Now, some of us are more stubborn by nature, probably. There are some who have stronger personalities. But the command of the Lord to not throw away your confidence and to persevere in your faith, it's not just for those who have a really tenacious personality. This is obtained by the Holy Spirit's grace and power. And it happens because we won't let go of the promise. It has to be something more motivating to you. What's your motivation to not give up? I've got a promise. It can't just be, well, I shouldn't give up. I probably shouldn't. I should be one of those people who don't give up. But why? Because you have a promise. And the promise is greater than what you're persevering through. Spiritual perseverance is about faith that what God has said will come to pass. Amen. This is what was said of Abraham. Oh man, I love Abraham. Romans 4, 19 through 21, speaking about Abraham, it says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Remember that he was 100. Since he was about 100 years old, Sarah's womb was also dead. Remember, she was 90. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Listen to this. But was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Abraham had more faith in God's promise at age 100 to give him a son than he did at 40 or 50. I mean, that's amazing. Because I know what happens in my own heart when the promises, when it takes a while for a promise to be fulfilled. You know, when I'm waiting even a couple years and I'm like, wow, you spoke that to me. I kind of thought it would be like tomorrow. And now it's like, oh, it's years. And we're still kind of, you know, working towards this promise here. But when you're living in the promise, there's some kind of supernatural strength that enters your spirit when you're like, this is the promise. This is the promise. My God's a promise keeper. He's the promise giver. He's the promise fulfiller. He is the promise. He's the living promise. He's the fulfillment of the promise. I'm going to live in it. I don't live in the circumstance. I live in the promise. And somehow Abraham so grasped this. He so meditated on the promises of God that by age 100, he was more convinced that he would have a legacy, a son, than ever before. And then at age 90, here comes Sarah, woo, pregnant. Shock of all shocks, right? And Isaac was birthed. And we all know that changed the world forever. So we immerse ourselves in God's promise, living, breathing, eating the promises. It's one of the reasons why I'm always encourage you, keep a journal, write them down. What has God said to you? What are some of the dreams he's giving you? What are the words and promises he's given you in the word? Let me share with you this amazing promise I've been living in that's just going to bless you, and I'm going to let you take it for your own. It's Isaiah. Someone stole Isaiah from my Bible. Oh, no, there it is. Isaiah 59:21. You have permission to take this promise, okay? The Lord gave this verse to my father at, like, maybe, honestly, 15 years ago. He was at, a conference, and he called us afterwards, and he said, I was receiving prayer, and someone gave me this verse, and I really felt like it was significant. Well, he actually forgot about it, but we wrote it down, Jeff and I, because we are the stewards of the word of the Lord, right? And years later, we pulled it back up, and we've been living in it and living in it and living in it because it's for my whole family. This is the promise the Lord gave to my father about his family and his generations to come. And this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them. And neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and on your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. You know, my children are going to serve the Lord. And they're going to speak the word of God. And their children are going to serve the Lord. And I have no doubt. I honestly have no doubt. Now, I fight for that promise, right? I'm on my face before the Lord for that promise to be fulfilled. But I have that promise. Lord, you're going to fulfill this. Let the word of God never depart from the mouth of this family. We're going to bring you glory until you return. Praise God. And that verse, when my grandfather, my 95-year-old grandfather passed away, he was a pastor and a minister for 40, some years, established a work in my little community that I grew up in. Great man of God. And when he passed away, we bought like 20 lots up on the funeral lots. We bought we bought half of the lots available in Midland. Anyway, we decided we're just going to, like, this is where we're all going to be buried. And we just like a real sense of family inheritance in our family. And so we just bought like a whole bunch of lots up there in the, what do they call it? I'm sorry. Graveyard. Yeah, plots in a graveyard though. Anyway, and then he has this huge stone. It is by far the largest stone in the entire Midland graveyard. The entire grandpa's the patriarch's stone. He was the first one to go to. My grandma died like a year later. And he has this huge stone, and engraved on the stone, Isaiah 59, verse 21. And the word of the Lord will never depart from his mouth, from the mouths of his children, his children's children. My parents serve the Lord, and I've got two brothers, and we all serve the Lord, and every one of my nieces and nephews serve the Lord, and my children are serving the Lord, and that's a promise. I encourage you, grab a hold of it for yourself, okay? Live in the promises. Live in them. Number two, perseverance of your faith is about not quitting. To just not make it too complicated. It's really, you kind of just win if you just stay in the game. Now, staying in the game can be hard, and sometimes it's really actually hard not to quit. But you know, some people may mock the person who's running the marathon and who ends up walking across the finish line. But for those who never ran the marathon at all, I just think, well, you know, you just don't have anything to say about it. You weren't even in the race. Whether that person walks or runs or crawls, right? It's like Jesus is going, yes, look at them crawling across the finish line. They're just not quitting. And you know, it's what the scripture says. Ephesians 6, 13 through 14. Put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. It's like when you've done everything you know to do, just stand there and say, I'm not quitting, and I'm not turning my back on the Lord. He's good no matter what it looks like. I'm going to live in his promises, and I'm going to stand here until I get what I'm standing here for. And while you're standing there, declare those promises out loud. Let your mouth be that powerful rudder that steers your ship. Let it be the sword that cuts the path for you. Speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. Last night I was so discouraged. I'm like, God, how could I still be sick? How can this be day five? How can I still be sick? I was so discouraged. And I just felt like the Lord's like, you just got to start praising me. I'm like, you're so right, Lord. So Sapo and I put on some worship. Even as we were brushing our teeth, we had worship going. And we were like shouting in the bathroom. I was shouting, and he was praising the Lord too, though. And worshiping the Lord. I'm like, God, we're not going to quit no matter what. Tomorrow's coming. And we're going to do this thing. And it's going to be great because you're here. Stand. And don't quit. Number three, perseverance looks like staring at the beautiful face of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, you might want to, if you had your Bible, I think you should look at that one too. It's so good. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's just beautiful right there, right? But how do you run this race with perseverance? Well, it says in the next verse, fixing our eyes on Jesus. You are never going to have all the strength you need for this race. In fact, your strength is going to run out really fast. Your own natural strength. And God gives us natural strength, but like there is a strength that comes from staring at Christ. Christ is strength. Jesus Christ is our strength. And there is something, and even says he's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. So as we stare at him, he's the one that started this work in you. He's the one that started this work in the church. He's the pioneer, the starter. And he's the perfecter of your own walk with him and the perfecter of what's happening here. And as we stare at him, as we fix our eyes on him, it's like he perfects his work in us and his strength is made perfect in our what? Weakness. And Paul even says, I have learned to glory in my weakness. I don't like being weak. I mean, I don't like being physically weak. I don't like feeling emotionally weak. You know, when you just feel like even tired or drained or discouraged. I don't like that. But Paul said Paul went through so much of it in his life. He went through so much. He says, I've just learned to glory in it. How do you, wow. He goes, I just glory in my weakness because I know Christ's strength is going to be made perfect. It's like God gets so much glory when he can do something through a weak vessel. Like we're always wanting to be like the strongest person in the room. And the Lord's like, I just want you to be the most yielded person in the room. You don't even have to be the strongest guy, but can you just have the deepest surrender? And then I can work with you. Weakness, not a problem. Really. Praise God. And we see in here, in order to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we deal with two things. We aggressively throw off the sin that entangles, right? And every weight that hinders. The sin that entangles is literally sin. We repent of sin. Because you are going to have a hard time running your race with perseverance when you are defiled by sin, willingly operating in sin. So we repent. But we also throw off the hindrances. Those are the things that maybe they're not named sin. Maybe it's not sexual immorality. Maybe it's not idolatry. But it's hindrances. It's just like, this is a big distraction in my life. And the distractions are like hindrances. And he says, just put them aside. You want to run with perseverance, get rid of the ball and chain. And I don't mean anyone's husband or wife. I mean, keep, that's not a ball and chain. That's, I felt strengthened so much when Jeff called me last night from Thailand and prayed for me. No, that's a blessing. But deal with the sin aggressively. Throw off everything that hinders. And then you fix your eyes on Jesus and keep staring at him. Let me share with you. Years and years, I know I've shared this dream before, but I just, so powerful for me. Years ago, when Malachi was first diagnosed with diabetes, he was only 3. He was a little guy. And that was such a difficult season for me as a mama. Anyway, and I really was dealing with like working it out with the Lord. Like, Lord, how could this happen? Like, really, like, I thought we were protected from things like this. How could this happen? And I was just really being real with the Lord. Like, and I would say to God in my honesty, the devil seems bigger than you. Now, I know that's not true, but I'm telling you, it feels like the devil's huge. And somewhere, somehow, way out somewhere, I've got a God instead of the opposite. Now, I knew that it wasn't true. I was asking the Lord to help me. I was like, God, help me. Like, shrink my devil and blow up my God. Like, I know you are big and the devil's not. But it feels like everywhere I turn, so much sickness and so much struggle. And then now this diagnosis on my son. And, you know, he's really little and we're having to give him shots. You know, little 3-year-olds, their arms are so tiny. And it was like 4 shots a day. And it was like he would hide behind the couch when it came time to give him a shot. I was like, oh, it was heartbreaking. I mean, just, I would have just took it from him if I could. Anyway, and, during the time when I'm renewing my mind and asking the Lord for help, could someone grab me another water bottle? I'm just really down in the water there. And this is in the fridge. If someone just grabbed me a bottle of water from the fridge, that would be really, really nice. Anyway, the Lord gives me this dream to help me. I'm walking through this beautiful, like, English garden. And Malachi is up ahead of me. And He's just playing. We're just enjoying the day, like with the Lord, honestly. And he is playing and running around, and all of a sudden, out from behind a bush, in the distance comes this ravenous pit bull. And this pit bull is like 6 foot tall, head about like this. And we're just enjoying the garden. Malachi's playing, but from behind the bush, and I'm not right there with him. I'm just watching, and all of a sudden, this dog, 6 foot pit bull, is set on devouring him, and he's just like racing towards my son. And I stand there, and I just begin to scream at the top of my lungs, "No! No!" And I'm pointing my finger, and I'm screaming, "No!" And the pit bull just turns, and it looks at me, and it just begins to charge until it's right at the end of my finger, its huge head. And it's roaring in my face. And I'm standing there, Ephesians chapter 6, screaming at the top of my lungs like a mad woman, "No, no." And then it just begins to like shrink. And it was like the size of one of those little toy poodles. And then I just wake up. I always wished I could have finished the dream by just smashing it or something, you know, really like, but I won't cry at that moment. But the Lord was saying, you know, he seems big. Stand your ground, speak the word. It's shrinking before you. Like, this is the reality of the enemy you serve in correlation to how big of a God we have that we're operating in. Thank you, Jesus. So I don't know what you're personally needing to persevere in, but pick up your promises again. Don't lay them down. It's a day to pick up the promises again. Dreams from years ago, things that maybe you were going after that you forgot about because it's been a long time. It's just time to pick up the promise again. Say, I'm going to live in it. I'm going to breathe it. I'm going to pray over it. I'm just going to stand here holding the promise, fixing my eyes on Jesus, the promise keeper, the promise giver, and he's the promise fulfiller. He's doing something. He's at work. He's at work. When you're sleeping, he's at work. When you're working at your job, he's at work. When you're just eating, he's at work. When it's time for you to rest, guess what? He's still working. Always working on your behalf to produce in you and through you great and glorious things. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand up for a second. Let's just respond. Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Lord, you're worthy. You're so good, Lord. You're so good, Lord. We just say, God, if it brings you glory, we want it, Lord. We want to bring you so much glory on this earth, Jesus. God, we thank you for the honor of sending this team to Thailand. Thank you for the honor of covering them in prayer, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of God that was preached in little villages and in the city and to the youth and to the children. And God, we thank you, Father, for the work of the Lord. God, we receive this word that awakening is coming to the city and to the continents of the earth. We just say, yes, Lord. And we agree with you. Let notice be served to the slumbering spirit. We drive you out right now in Jesus' name. Awaken your church. Awaken your people, Father. Awaken your people across this city, across this continent, Lord, and in the continents of the earth. God, let the great awakening of your Holy Spirit be poured out, Lord. God, we're looking to it. We're looking to it. Jesus, our eyes are on you. Jesus, you are the awakener. You are awakening itself. Let the eyes of fire burn a fire within us, Jesus. We're staring at you, Jesus, with the eyes of fire. Oh, God, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you. 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 Alex, I had another window up. Oh, awesome. I was hoping Matthew would tell you about that. You can get it up. Oh, you are amazing. Could you catch the lights here? I'm going to explain what we're going to do here. We're ending. I want you to be fully engaged for the next, whatever this is, 10 minutes. This is a song that I have been playing like on repeat. Oh, seriously, I've probably listened to it 20 times. And it's all scripture, 100% scripture. These guys got together, they wrote a song, and it's basically pronouncing a blessing over the hearers in the room. And it's all scripture that the Lord goes before you. He's in front of you. He's beside you. He's around you. He's in you. His favor, he's for you, not against you. His favor is upon you. For 1,000 generations, his favor is upon you. And I feel like it's so powerful that I actually want us to receive it as a spiritual blessing. It's just the word. But, you know, if you find that you know the words, sing it. If not, I would, you know, in the Old Testament, when the priests gave a blessing, they would raise their right hand. And everyone who wanted to receive the blessing would raise their right hand to receive it. And so I encourage you, receive the blessing from the Lord himself. The Lord is for you. Amen. His favor is upon you. Go ahead, Alex. Thanks.
On Thursday, to just go in after the presence of God and try to pin lyric and melody. And after a couple of hours, it just felt like the presence of God just stopped everything. And we wrote a song called The Blessing. And it's straight from scripture. And it's the heart of the Father over us as his kids. And we're going to sing it this morning, if that's okay. And this is a blessing over you and your family and your children. So just receive this morning. Just put your hands out in front of you. Turn your heart to a place of just receiving the blessing of heaven from God himself over you this morning.
Shine upon you. and be gracious to you. The Lord turns face toward you and give you peace. As we receive, we agree. Amen.
Go before you and behind you.
you're going. God bless you all. Have a great week. Love you.